Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, O Lord, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire here. And if you've been listening to the program over the last month or so, you will know that I've been really pushing for people to make a submission for the End of Life Choices Bill, which is before Parliament, and it closes Tuesday, the 20th of February. So you need to get it in before Tuesday. Now, I guess you're running out of time to post it, unless you live in Wellington, you could hand deliver it. But you can do an email submission. Bob McCoskrey, on his Facebook post, said that unfortunately there is a bit of difficulty with that and there seems to be a bit of an overload, and he was hoping that the government would extend the date to sort that out, but I'm not sure that that's going to happen. So please, 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 if you're listening, make sure you get a submission in. Naturally, this is a pro-life program, so we are opposed to this end-of-life choices bill. Very interesting terminology there, end-of-life choices, rather than saying euthanasia and assisted suicide. It sounds so nice. So I've sent my submission in, so I'll just give you a little bit of background about what I wrote. Firstly, the interesting thing is that Marion Street, the woman, the MP, who started all of this ball rolling a few years ago, her mother and her sister died from terminal illnesses. Yet, interestingly, neither of them chose to have euthanasia. So why would Marion Street support it, or what motivated her to bring this about before the Parliament? The fact is that she did not like watching them suffer. So it was really about her and not about her mother and her sister, which is very interesting. And certainly it's not nice watching a loved one die. That's a very hard thing to do. Now, she stated that for now she had heard that children who had terminal illnesses or were disabled, that in the Netherlands parents are asking to have them euthanized. Now, she said that is a bridge too far for now, but she thought that possibly in the future. Now, this is really ridiculous. The whole world seems to be following the model from the Netherlands, which is where it all started back in 2002. The bill was drafted by Dr. Els Borst, and she was a Minister of Health at the time in the Netherlands. Now, it was implemented in 2002, yet in just 7 years, she said, we have made a mistake, concentrated on palliative care and caring for the dying. And so we have rushed into this. We've certainly made a mistake. There was Professor Boer, who was also very supportive of this. In fact, he was the government representative to oversee all of this until 2014. And he went to the UK last year when the parliamentarians were discussing this. And he said, do not make the mistake that we do. Absolutely do not. And interestingly, the parliamentarians voted it down. So they showed some common sense and they listened to reason. So what started out as just for the terminally ill has now morphed into just about every single category that you can imagine. There are teenagers, there are children, disabled children, one woman recently with tinnitus, ringing in the ears. There's been a huge increase in the number of mentally ill or with mental health issues. And that should be a really worry for us in New Zealand, particularly when we have the highest youth suicide rate in the world. So if this is legalised, then we may as well throw away all of the suicide prevention programs, because we are sending our youth a terrible mixed message. In fact, it's an absolute betrayal of our youth. They are very, very vulnerable, and yet we're saying in some circumstances assisted suicide is fine, and yet this is terrible in other circumstances. Well, you can't have it both ways. So we've got this slippery slope has turned into an avalanche. The numbers have gone up hugely. Doctors have been found to be falsifying the records because it's just too much paperwork. And what was meant to be a right to have people have more control over their own death has actually turned into the opposite, where doctors actually taking control over people's death. There was one instance recently when a dementia patient, now that who knows what dementia means, it might be elderly, get a little bit senile or slightly forgetful, and she did not want euthanasia, but her family held her down while the doctor gave her an injection. I mean, that's just a total betrayal of the family bond. That is not what it's meant to be about. And we have now parents asking if they could have euthanasia for their children who have, and these are young children, who have a terminal illness or some major disability, because they can't stand watching them suffer. So for the very same reason that Marion Street was motivated to start this process. In fact, I heard a very famous New Zealand doctor on a radio program last week say this very thing, that he had seen a child die in these circumstances very painfully, from a serious illness, and if euthanasia had been legalised, he would have administered it. If I gave you the name of the person, I think you'd be very, very shocked. So we're saying Marion Street says this is not going to happen, that's a bridge too far. This is already happening in the Netherlands and elsewhere. Now, I mentioned about the pain. Interestingly, in Oregon, which has had euthanasia for quite a long time, not one person has said that the reason that they requested euthanasia was because of the pain. Pain can be managed. So that is actually not a reason. So a lot of it is about fear, about the fear of perhaps not being able to control their bodily functions, that they might die alone. And people, the elderly, know when family members are sort of doing things out of duty and that they've become a bit of a burden. They know, they can see it in your eyes when you're talking to them, that they're a bit of a nuisance. And this thing in the Netherlands, there's a thing, people who are sick of life or who had a completed life, or they're talking about a fair innings. So once you've had a fair innings and you've had enough of life and you've taken up enough of the planet's resources and enough of the government's resources, you should do the decent thing and go out. So all of these things are coming in. This is a very inhumane way to talk about people who are made in the image and likeness of God. This is abhorrent, really. This is not what we, in New Zealand, we are a very caring society, and this is something we do not want and we do not need. Interestingly, when this process started 2 years ago, Marion Street, she got 8,000 people together and they had a petition because they wanted to begin the discussion. And it was over that whole period when they were discussing the flag over summer, Christmas. And yet over 20,000 people made a submission. It's the highest number that they've ever had. And it took them 8 months to count those submissions. We didn't hear till August that nearly 80% of those submissions were opposed to euthanasia. Now, in the Netherlands, it's become, in some places, it's a bit of, well, it's my right, this is a good thing to do, and it's almost become a fashionable death in certain quarters. I mean, that's extraordinary. In 1987, Malcolm Muggeridge gave a talk called The Great Liberal Death Wish, and he said it only takes about 30 years to turn a war crime, the Holocaust, into an act of compassion, euthanasia. And he suspected that in 30 years, which is right where we are today, that governments would support euthanasia because they didn't want to pay for the care of the elderly. And in fact, I've seen online some headlines saying that if they didn't, governments didn't have to pay for the care of the elderly, that they would save hundreds of millions of dollars in their health budget. Now, when an elderly person sees that, that's just another thing to drive them into this euthanasia because they think they're the burden on society. Now, I was speaking to someone quite high up in the health department also about a year ago, and he mentioned that, you know, the health budget is finite and that the elderly people take most of the budget. And so they should. And I explained to him that I'm in my 60s. I have never spent a night in hospital, never been to hospital, other than to have four children. And so I hope that towards the end of my life, when I do need some hospital care, etc., that I will get some. I think I might be entitled to it if I've paid taxes, which I certainly have. Over the years, I've worked very hard. And I would like to think that I'm not seen as a burden because I'm going to take a little bit of the health budget. So already, people are starting to have this mentality. I also know someone very high up in the health department as well, in Waitemata Health, and he was at a conference a few years back in Europe, and they were discussing euthanasia. And so they decided that they would all agree to disagree. Every country was just going to continue with what they were doing. But out of that conference came this one phrase, a fair innings. And you don't hear it too much, but if you look online, it's dotted here and there, so it's starting to come out. It's a very mean, cold-hearted phrase. Now, also in the Netherlands, there's a group of people who are pushing this, and they propose that when someone gets to around 70 or 75, when they're tired of life, that they are given, one suggestion on their 70th birthday, a dry-on pill. Now, that's a suicide pill. Now, how nice. Happy birthday. Here's a suicide pill. I mean, you know, you can just imagine when someone's having a bad day, well, let's go and take it. What about if the grandchildren found it? I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous, but this is what we've come to. So once, you know, the argument was for a terminal illness for the elderly, I don't think so. And as I said, I suspect Malcolm Muggeridge might be right on the button there. It is all about the health budget. There are also vans which go around, the death squad vans, and they will go to an elderly person's home and the euthanasia will be performed in the home. The government has been lobbied to send packs to school children, to teenagers, 16 and above, on how to procure euthanasia. This is bad law. Now, when you make a law for an exception, it's bad, because what a small minority might want and loudly proclaim means it sweeps in the whole of the majority, most of them who do not want this law. Now, there's a test case back in the US in about 1904, and it said any law made because of an exception is a bad law. So please hurry and get your submissions in. Talk to everyone over the weekend, make sure they've got their submissions in. This is one of the most important issues to come to New Zealand in a very long time. As Father Linus Clover said, now we've had him on our program many a time, he spoke to a group of elderly people in Auckland not so long ago, and he said the good news and the bad news. You escaped abortion, but you will not escape euthanasia. Okay, it's just after 3 o'clock. It's Divine Mercy time. Now, this is just a very short version of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. This is a fantastic prayer to pray when someone is actually dying. God in His mercy, that's what you want. You certainly want the mercy before you have the justice. Okay, so you can just use ordinary rosary beads. Okay, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell and rose again on the third day. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you're pregnant and worried, there is a really fantastic organization in Auckland. Well, there's several, but the one I'm talking about is Family Life International, so FLI. You can get it by ringing 0800 for life, 0800 for life. And you'll always find a friendly person on the end of the phone. And they have all sorts of things that they can offer you, from face-to-face counselling, just counselling over the phone. They can come to your house if you'd like them to talk to you there. There's practical help that they can give you if once the baby is born. Like bassinets and pushchairs and clothes for the babies. They have teams of knitters, the most exquisite knitting you've ever seen in your life, you can get for your babies. Also, if you actually were pregnant and needed accommodation, there is one girl living at Family Life at the moment, and I've met her, a beautiful girl from China, lovely girl. So they just more than mouths. They do really give practical help. So remember, if you're pregnant, it's an unexpected pregnancy. Even if you're married and you are worried about it, come along and talk to someone. It's a fantastic organisation. Now, they're also spearheading, although the main organisers in Auckland, of the 40 Days for Life. Now, it started yesterday because yesterday was Ash Wednesday, and that's when Catholics and High Anglicans get the ash on their forehead in the shape of a cross to commemorate the beginning of the 40 days to Easter Sunday. So what FLI is doing, and it's happening all around the world, it's called 40 Days for Life. So it's pro-life, and a group of people get together and pray peacefully, quietly, prayerfully, opposite an abortion centre. So the one that they are doing in Auckland, they are opposite the abortion, whatever you call it, in Eden Court in Dominion Road. So if you know where Valentine's is, about the middle of Eden Road shops, opposite Valentine's in the first story there is actually an abortion centre. And so a huge group of people, it'll be 12 hours a day for 40 days. And some people are so extraordinarily faithful, they're there almost every single day. It's just quite humbling to think what they're doing to stand out. It's a huge witness because particularly in the morning and in the afternoon you've got the same commuters, you know, on the buses going past and they all, you know, stare at you and they're not too sure what you're doing. Cars go past, some toot, some yell. You get some abusive people who come right in your face and scream at you, but that's okay. Quite often you'll find if you talk to them, afterwards they might calm down and you talk to them. You might find if it's the woman, they've actually had an abortion themselves. And so quite often they have not dealt with that hurt, that emotion, because it will always be there. And you have organisations like Project Rachel, which really helps women who have had an abortion to heal. That's a fantastic organisation as well. So if you've got any free time, you can ring FLI. It's better to ring and they'll actually ask you, look, do you think you could make, you know, 2 hours a week or anything like that? If you made a commitment, it's really good for them because they want to make sure there's at least two people there every hour because they don't have someone on their own. And it's good if they know that there's people who are actually going to be there. For example, I know someone who was going to go today, but their child was sick, so they couldn't go. Luckily, there was someone else to fill in. So this is the sort of thing. Get involved if you're concerned about the numbers of babies who are aborted in their mother's womb. You know, put your hand up and get involved. I always say, I think that at the end, when the book of life is opened and God separates the sheep from the goats, he'll ask, you know, did you feed the hungry? Did you visit the prisoners? Did you feed or clothe the naked? I suspect there could be another category. You knew babies were being ripped apart in their mother's womb. What did you do about it? We certainly live in a culture of death, like St. Pope John Paul II said. We seem to honour death. We revel in death. And that could not be more confirmed than that vile exhibition that has been travelling for about 20 years. And I think there's about 150 human bodies. These are people who were made in the image and likeness of God, and they've had some, their fluids have been drained, it's been put back with some particular things which hardens, and you can go and see the innards and workings of people's bodies. It's really gross. I've heard of someone who's going to take their children. Come on. I mean, do you want to have, you know, them to have nightmares forever? Ridiculous. I think you really almost need an age limit of about 16 to really cope with what it's all about. Okay, once again, the program goes through so quickly. So we're going to end with that beautiful group who I love very, very much, the Priests.